Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative. Yes, and like the dude just said, we are just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time, if you will. So I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper. Show me the money. Do you know where it is? And if you have it, what are you going to do with it? Is it going to be agenda-driven expenditures? Are you going to feed more government? Do you have any thoughts at all of giving some of it back to the people who sent it to you? Well, right now, the state of Alabama is on par for having the next best year ever. Collections of revenues for the state are currently, according to Justin Bogey at the Alabama Policy Institute, as written in the 1819news.com, just last week, currently, the state of Alabama is $1.4 billion ahead of this time last year in revenue collections. $1.4 billion with a B ahead of this time last year. That's amazing. And I'm going to tell you right now, when I took office in 2010, we were coming out of the 2008 recession. There were no surpluses. In fact, we had to wind up, you know, really doing some wrangling. We cut government, by the way, which doesn't ever happen anymore. We cut government. We even reduced, when I was a legislator, we reduced our own legislative pay. And it needed to be because the Democrats had given themselves a massive pay increase, which is one of the things I ran on when I ran for office. But we reduced our own pay. We reduced the size of government. We streamlined certain things. We combined departments. And then on top of all of that, we wound up still having to, on one year, borrow something like $463 million from the Alabama Trust Fund in order to be able to make regular expenses. Well, now they're looking at just record surpluses, largely because of the budgeting processes that we put in place a few years back. But nonetheless, epic amounts of money coming into the state of Alabama. And Justin Bogey says, if the current trends hold, lawmakers will have another historic opportunity. I highlight the word opportunity, because they don't have any plans right now that we know of, but there's at least an opportunity to reduce taxes and take less from Alabamians next year. Now, a week or so ago, I had State Senator Chris Elliott from Baldwin County on the show. And we talked about a few things. And one of the things I asked him was, you guys are going to have a special session this year. He said, yeah, we probably are. Special session's coming up this summer because they've got another huge tranche of federal dollars they're going to have to spend. And I asked him at the time, I said, so, Senator, what do you think? Is there going to be any discussion about tax relief during that time? He said, Phil, I really do believe that there will be some discussion. Okay, discussion is great, and I hope he's right. But action is what's needed. So, as Justin Bogey points out in this article, Alabama's government began 2022 with a combined revenue surplus of $1.5 billion already. Nearly all of that went back into state government when they appropriated it. There was one tax cut victory. They did cut about $160 million in what we call targeted tax cuts, meaning it wasn't like a blanket thing that every citizen feels. It was only if you were in this certain category. In this particular case, I believe it was a business privilege tax, which I'm glad they cut it. You know, kudos for that. But I ask you out there, how many of you have seen the benefit of that? How many of you will ever see the benefit? How many of you own your own business and are going to do away with the $100 that you have to pay for business privilege tax every year? That's what I thought. All right. So, based on comments made by lawmakers to Alabama Daily News, Justin Bogey reports they are already looking for reasons to put any potential surplus back into government spending. And I believe that's correct, because they have been on a spending spree in Montgomery of late. Lawmakers warned the last year that revenue growth that we see right now is unsustainable, meaning and I get it. Prepare for lean times. The time to prepare for lean times is when you're in the good times. But right now, when you have it, and all of the people, and if we were in an economic state of prosperity, that inflation wasn't crushing people, you weren't paying twice as much at the gas pump as you were a year ago, if this near recession state that we find ourselves in was not going on, if this was like the 80s and things were rocking economically and they had these surpluses, then I get it. Put some aside. Maybe do a few things you couldn't normally do. But right now, now's the time to go, how can we bring you relief, Mr. and Mrs. Citizen? How can we help you, Mr. and Mrs. Taxpayer? Yeah. Okay. Just a reminder, they did this once already this year. Yellowhammer News, dated last January. This is a reminder. Legislature passes $772 million in pandemic relief spending plan, concludes their special session. So, yeah, this will be the second. This coming summer will be the second time in this year that they've not only met in regular session, but they've met in special session to spend extra money. In fact, on top of what they did in the special session with $772 million in American Rescue Plan Act from D.C. Funds, they also, by the way, had a $1.2 billion surplus. They had to do an a contingent appropriation in order to spend it. And what did they spend it on? Government. They didn't give it back to us. Folks, I'm just telling you, at some point they have to recognize it's not about growing Montgomery. It can't be always about growing Montgomery. It can't always be about, hey, local and county governments, what you need, man? What you need? I'm just passing out the Benjamins. What you need? What you need? You got a project over there? Yeah, what you got over there? Hey, what you got over there? It's like an auction. They're just giving out the money. Maybe at some point you look at Joe and Jane Citizen, who are struggling to put food on the table, can't buy bacon right now, and it costs them twice as much as it used to just to fill up their tank to drive to work. And if you've got a business that relies upon vehicles, like some type of delivery service or whatever else, my gosh. Legislature passes $772 million pandemic relief plan last January, and they put all of it into government. Anti-gambling coalition urges Ivy not to add a gambling legislation to any special session. So 1819 News reported last week that there are rumors that in the midst of the near recession that we find ourselves in, that when they come into special session this summer to deal with the additional funds they're looking at from the federal government, that they may in fact decide to go ahead and take up gambling. So it says there's going to be, according to 1819 News again, this time Brandon Mosley wrote this article, there will be a 2022 special session to appropriate an additional $1.2 billion. Literally, folks, they are going to come into special session and go, we got all this money laying around. What do you want to do with it? $1.2 billion. Now, by the way, the courts have ruled, because our Attorney General, Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall, led the case to fight to get a ruling from the Supreme Court of the United States that says that the federal government cannot prohibit these federal relief funds from being used to provide tax relief. They cannot. It intervenes, if they try to do that, it intervenes in the state's taxing authority. And so what you've got right now is literally $1.2 billion. Do you know how much you pay in grocery taxes every year? 4 cents on every dollar goes to the state of Alabama when you buy bread and milk and eggs. 4 cents on every dollar. Right now, you spend a lot of dollars when you go to the grocery store. 4 cents on every dollar to the state of Alabama. Roughly $465 million annually comes into the state of Alabama from just grocery taxes, something like that. And it may have changed, but anyway, something like that. If that's the case, what if they chose to, for 1 year, say, we've got $1.2 billion. Nobody's paying grocery taxes for a year. It's small, but everybody feels it. At the same time, you've got 10 cents on every gallon of gas. 10 cents on every gallon of gas that is because of a new tax that the state of Alabama passed in 2019. There is no reason why they could not use some of this money and say, we are going to freeze that gas tax and take it off of your bill. You will not pay that for the next year. And we'll cover down on it with money from D.C., and everybody gets a break. It may not be life-changing, but folks, it means something, and you would see the difference. Grocery taxes, gas taxes, those are two of the taxes that are the most regressive of all because they tax the poorest among us, and they do have the ability this summer, when they meet in special session, to provide that level of tax relief in an effort to try and bring something back to your pocket and not just spending it on government. All right, there's my financial rant, if you will. Time now for a break. We'll go ahead and take this break. I'm going to switch gears. We're going to come back, talk about education. And there's plenty to talk about. To include, by the way, a good news story out of Montgomery. Just this morning, I'm getting ready and I realize that former Secretary of Education William Bennett is touting a school in Montgomery as a major success story. It's very cool. I'll tell you about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So yeah, it is 3:23 PM. This day is flying by, man. We're almost an hour and a half into the show. Coming up at the top of the hour, you're going to want to stay tuned for one of my favorite times, and I get a lot of feedback on it, so apparently a bunch of y'all enjoy it. The Grand Council, every Thursday at 4 p.m., myself and my two other radio brethren, Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down on the coast, and our own Dale Jackson, we go back and forth and ping each other with questions, see what kind of answers we come up with. We don't know the questions in advance, and so what's kind of fun is when we, sometimes we even disagree. Like, you know, three conservative guys are on there. Each one thinks they know the stuff because we all do our own radio show, and then sometimes we come out like, hey, you mean you got a different perspective? I thought we were all in sync here. Nope. But most often we do. But I tell you what, every time we do this, by the way, you know, I'll come in with a train of thought on a question. Like next thing I know, Jeff's asking a question and I've got my train of thought and I'm going at it. And then Dale comes in with an answer that I don't disagree with, but it's a train of thought that I hadn't, you know, thought up on my own. It's crazy when you have three different minds coming together on the same thing and just spitballing it. And y'all get to listen to it live. So it's Thursdays at 4 o'clock, being today, by the way. The Grand Council at 4 o'clock. Y'all stay tuned for that. So I'm starting number two on the Triple Dipper. An all-of-the-above education policy. Do you remember when there was all this talk for quite a while there about having an all-of-the-above energy policy? What did that mean? It meant do it all. I'm like, which, by the way, I still look at it and go, what's wrong with that? Drill for oil and build a windmill all at the same time. Use hydro and nuclear all at the same time. Clean coal and, oh, by the way, natural gas all at the same time. Why not? And you can begin to phase one out as the others show their worth, but right now you can't just flip the switch and suddenly we're all green energy, which, by the way, green energy is a myth. It's a myth. Green energy. That's a fancy name that virtue signals and makes politicians feel better. Green energy. I mean, we had that great caller, and I wish I could remember his name now. He sent me an email, but who pointed out that literally, if you are in a, for instance, in TVA, a lot of TVA's power grid is coal generated. And so if you have a electric vehicle and you're going to wind up plugging it in at night, then nighttime is when the energy draw on the grid typically goes down, but now if everybody's plugging in their vehicles, more coal gets burned at night to power up those vehicles. And that he said that studies show that it would take an average of 65 pounds of coal to be able to charge up one electric vehicle. This is not even, by the way, this is not even the subject of my triple. I'm going to talk about education, but somehow I'm off on energy. Oh my gosh, and I've got a caller to talk about it. Let's just do it. Let's just do it. Let's go ahead and take that call. Line three, Chris from Lauderdale. Chris, how you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. Hey, I appreciate your show.
But, thanks, man.
But this thing about environmental energy, you know, these windmills, the thing nobody says or mentions is the bird chill.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yes. Yes.
It is. And right now, they're talking about TVA within our area is talking about keeping our power down. And Biden is talking about putting electric car charging stations every 50 miles on the interstate. Where's that power going to come from?
It's exactly right. And, oh, by the way, putting power stations on the interstate, what's it going to do? Put them in the curbside, like right there on the side of the road. And Chris, by the way, we had a serious issue when I was in the state senate. We had a serious issue with a wind farm that wanted to build along a ridgeline in my district, and it became quite the thing. So I had to study, and I wound up having legislation that kept them from setting up what I would consider to be a very irresponsible green energy project. But it does. They kill birds. We have bald eagles around here. It kills bald eagles like left and right. And then when you get those, you ever seen those, every once in a while they have, those giant turbines, which like the wingspan is bigger than a 747, and they do what's called blade sling. One of the blades breaks loose, and that thing will sling for, you know, a good quarter mile until it hits the ground like a giant knife. It's amazing.
Yeah, they look like they're spinning slow, but because of their size, they're really spinning. And like, I agree, they'll sling them blades. Look out, everybody.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, okay. It's not sustainable, but they're trying to push it anyway. Chris, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you. He's right. By the way, go look it up. Wind turbines blade sling. I guarantee you're going to find. I found some pictures that, you know, I'd actually made posters for the debates that I had on the Senate floor. And by the way, I'm not against them. I just did not want them setting up irresponsibly because they were wanting to come in using entirely, you know, federally subsidized. They wanted to set up adjacent to farmland, adjacent to a local park, adjacent to a recreational lake. And they wanted to set up in such a way that they did not want to have any reclamation plans. In other words, if they abandoned them, they had to at least put the ground back the way it was. They did not want to have any property offsets. They wanted to put them right up next to the fence lines and the cows. There's studies that show that if you put them next to cattle farms, that the woof, woof, woof can actually irritate the cows and cause a great deal of problems. And I don't mean like a little, I mean like literally cows going crazy, running through fences and getting themselves, you know, just traumatized. They do kill birds, and they didn't want to do anything with insurance. So if they had a blade sling and it went through the roof of a house, like I've got pictures of that in these posters that I had made, then they didn't want to have to carry insurance. They wanted the locals to build the road to get to the access points to put the towers in. Like, no, build your own freaking roads. You're using federal money anyway. What the heck? So all this stuff we did, we put a bill together that basically put together a responsible means by which you will be a good citizen, if you will. And they did not want to do it. They didn't want to do it. They hired 6 lobbying firms trying to kill that legislation. Well, it took a while, but I'll never forget. And I said it on here before. I said it a few weeks ago. I'll never forget my friend Barry Moore, who's now serving in Congress in South Alabama. Barry Moore was in the state house, and he asked them in a hearing. He said, "Mr. Pioneer Green Man, I want to know, could you possibly build these wind farms if you didn't have federal subsidies?" And the guy just finally said, "No." He goes, "That's what I thought. You're not sustainable on your own. The free market does not support you." Yep. My friend Barry Moore, that was an epic moment. Listen, I know we're headed to a break right now, but we will be right back after this. And I'm going to switch to education next. You stand by. We're going to do it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Be right back.